Father God, we thank you this morning for the cross. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son this morning, Father God. We thank you that by your grace we are forgiven this morning. Father God, I pray for anybody here this morning that has not received your Son, that does not know the importance and the magnitude of the cross and the blood for them and what it means for their eternity, Father God, that they can be reconciled to you this morning, that they can be called a friend of God this morning. We thank you, Father God, that the blood that was shed on the cross for us covers every sin, covers every mistake, Father God. We honor you, we thank you, we bless you this morning, Father. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would minister and call to those people, Father, that may not have surrendered their hearts fully to you or who have walked away from you this morning, Father God, that they would come to you, that they would come to the cross, Father God, that they would get their sins covered under the blood of Jesus this morning, that this would be a significant moment for them, Father God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. We're going to continue our worship this morning by receiving our tithes and our offerings. As you guys know in Scripture, the tithe is what percentage? 1, 2, 3, 4, 20, 25, 50. Y'all need to read your Bibles. Thank you, Drea, the children's pastor, doing a great job over here. 10! Hallelujah. All right, it's 10%. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Numbers in the Bible, it's kind of fun stuff. Just think about the significance and what they mean. Does anybody know what the number 10 in the Bible represents? The number 10. What do you guys know? No? Okay, good. You learned something this morning. Aren't you glad you came to church? It means test, right? Test. So 10 is a test. And I find it interesting. It also, 10 also tithe, right? It also means tithe, since it's a test. And that's really what tithing is. God is entrusting us with something, and he's like, let me see if they'll be obedient. Let me see what they will do with what I've given to them. Let me see if I can give them more to be faithful with, right? We talked about last week that tithing, that your monies will show you really quick who you trust, right? What you care about, what's important to you, right? And so tithing is a test this morning. So Father God, I pray over our tithes and our offerings. God, I pray that we would be found faithful, that we would be found obedient. In Jesus' name, bless our tithes and offerings. Use them and multiply them for your kingdom and your purposes, Father. And bless our givers this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can come forward with your tithes and your offerings.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that you can come to the house of the Lord? Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to be in his house, in his presence? Amen. Praise God. That old rugged cross, it has a wondrous attraction to me. It's where I was set free. That rugged cross. Praise the Lord. Before I go any further, I want to do something a little different. Than I usually do. I have asked Richard, if he would, to join me on the platform. Richard, would you come up? And I wanted Richard to just greet you guys. I know that he carries something, and I know what he carries, the presence of the Lord. And I thank, and I just said, Richard, would you come? And would you just greet the people this morning? Praise the Lord. So I just want you to let the Lord use you, brother. All right?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm so excited to be here today. It's always beautiful whenever I come here. I love the presence of God here. I love the people. And I love how much you love each other and how much you love me also. The Bible says, by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And I thank you so much for welcoming me. Thank you so much for loving me. I'm really grateful for that. And if, for those of you who don't know me, in a few weeks I'll be the person marrying Pastor Hannah. Amen. And I told her some days back, I said, I want to be like you when I grow up. She said, you have time, you can. Amen. But she's just a lovely, awesome person. Amen. And I love her so much. Praise God. And I'm just going to quickly, Pastor, how much time do I have? How much time do I have?
You go right ahead.
Okay. Amen. I just want to quickly share some things with us this morning. When I came last 2 weeks, Pastor said something. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? For theirs is the kingdom of God, right? And he said something. He said, when you come to the end of your road, that's when a miracle happens. Amen. I just want to talk about that. I believe the Lord laid that in my heart this morning to continue from there. And can we go to the book of Luke? Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 5. Now, how many of us here love football? Oh, awesome. Back in Nigeria, I always wondered, like, why do the Americans call it football? And then they play with their hands. Like, I was like, this is not football. Amen. We call soccer, right? That's what we call football in Africa. We call soccer football. So I was always like, why do they call it football and they play with their hands? But who do you think is the greatest coach? Some say Bill Belichick. Some say Lou Holtz. Some say Vince Lombardi. But who do you think is the greatest coach? How many people think Vince Lombardi is the greatest coach? Anybody? Anybody thinks Bill Belichick is the greatest coach? Okay, have somebody. Anybody who thinks Lou Holtz is the greatest coach? Okay, apparently there are still some people I don't know. But the greatest coach, no matter how great that coach is, that coach cannot help a team if nobody shows up. If you don't show up for training, if you don't show up for the game, the greatest coach cannot help you. And no matter how great, now I say this with reverence, no matter how great a coach the Lord Jesus is, he cannot help you if you don't show up. Amen. The book of Luke 5, I'll read from verse 1. It says, now, have an accent. So sometimes if you don't hear what I say, just say, whatever he said, bless you, Lord. Amen. From verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, let me give you a context here. This is Jesus in his time. Now we know him as the Son of God. They didn't see him as the Son of God. This was the great evangelist having a healing meeting, or this was the great apostle or great prophet having this big early morning crusade. And people came to hear him speak and to hear him teach. And the Bible says there was so much a crowd that he said, hey, please, I need to be on the lake and give me some space from them. And when he had finished the crusade, he said, verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have come to the end of ourselves. We have tried everything possible. Qualification of Peter when it came to fishing, it was out of this world. PhD from School of Fishing from Yale. Expert for 25 years in deep sea fishing. Consultant to the government of Galilee on fishing issues, experience, but we have toiled all night and caught nothing. And he said, nevertheless, I will give it one more shot. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. Go back to verse 4. Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your what? With an S. Verse 5, Peter says what? I will let down my what? Nets. He hadn't fully come to the end of himself. His qualification was still telling him, I don't really think this is possible. So instead of letting down nets, the Bible said he did what? He let down a net. Amen. Jesus said, let down your nets. He let down a net. Why? Because in his mind, this we have told all night, this is not possible. And the Bible says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. And they beckoned unto the partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ship, so that they began to sink. Hallelujah. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. At that point, Peter said, this is it. I surrender. Amen. This was beyond his understanding. But when he got to the end of his road, that is when the miracle happened. Amen. Sometimes you need to get to the end of your road for the miracle to happen. We live in a world where qualifications are so important. If you want to get a job, the first thing they ask you is, hey, qualifications, what do you have? You want to go to college, what is your qualification? You want to get a car, what is your qualification? Background check is about qualification. You want to get a house, what is your qualification? But Jesus told Peter something. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, it says, follow me and I will make you. I will qualify you. I will make you fishers of men. Amen. I will make you. Peter got to the point where he realized everything I know, everything I have, is not worth much compared to what he knows and what he has. He said, follow me and I will make you. Amen. Tell somebody, just show up. Tell the person beside you on the right, tell them, just show up. Turn to the left, tell them, just show up. That is all God is asking of you this morning. Just show up. Amen. And I will make you. I will make you. Show up. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about your ability. Just show up and I will make you. Amen. Moses, this is Moses. Moses was trained in the palace. Such a mighty man, great man. Book of Acts, it says Moses was mighty in words and in deeds. And he had killed somebody and was on self-exile. And now he stood before the burning bush and God says, hey, Moses, take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is the holy ground. And the Lord said, hey, Moses, I'm sending you an assignment. And Moses said, Lord, who am I? Exodus 3, verse 11. Who am I to stand before Pharaoh? And the Lord said, I will be with you. And Moses said, I know you'll be with me, but I don't have the skills. I'm shy. I get nervous when I stand before the crowd. I don't speak Hebrew to the best of the Hebrew standard. I don't have all the qualifications. And God said, Moses, didn't God know? That's the funny thing about this. Didn't God know that Moses had all these problems? It was like, oh, tell me something I don't know. God knew all this, right? And God still picked Moses. And says, Moses, I'm sending you somewhere. And Moses said, Lord, he was out of excuses. He said, Lord, I have a problem with my speech. God said, your brother Aaron, he can talk well. He will speak for you. And Moses said, Lord, why don't you just send somebody? And the Lord got angry. Why? Because the Lord wanted to qualify him and send him. It was not Moses' ability. No, it was God's ability at work in Moses. That's what God wanted to show forth. But Moses was looking at himself and all his ability and what he could do and what he could not do. And he got to the point where he said, okay, I'll go. And God has a sense of humor. God sent him back only with a rod. Go deliver my people only with a rod in your hand. Amen. I think Moses would have been happy if the Lord said, Moses, you have military training right now. Build me an army. Get ready. Go fight. But the Lord sent him back with a rod only. Go. I will be with you. Amen. If I was Jesus and I had to pick my disciples, do you know who I would pick? I pick Pastor John first. Then Pastor John second again. Then Pastor Jed. Then I probably pick Brother Ken. I mean, I just select the best people I know. Pastor Hannah might be the 12th on my list. Amen. But Jesus picked people that you wouldn't imagine he would pick. Amen. He picked people like John and James, who as full-grown men came with their mom to say, can you give my son a place on the right hand and at the left hand? Full-grown men, they came with their mom to plead for. So that's amazing, praise God. Picked someone like Judas. Amen. Picked someone like Judas. He knew when he picked Judas, but he picked someone like Judas. Amen. And he sent Judas out like everybody else to heal the sick, to pray for the people. He picked someone like Peter. Amen. He picked some of he picked a bunch of people that I wouldn't pick because I might be looking in the flesh like Samuel. I says, here's the Lord's anointed, but that's not the one the Lord has chosen. God had a plan. He picked the people that God. Bible says he prayed all night before he picked those guys. The Lord led him to every one of them he picked. Amen. Sometimes, even when you show up and you say, Lord, I'm here, it doesn't mean it's going to be a smooth journey all the way. Sometimes you're going to feel the breath of Pharaoh's horse behind your back. Amen. Moses had that experience. And Moses, after God had done wonders and signs, and Moses got to the place where he had led them out of Egypt, and now Moses stands before the Red Sea. And the people said, why didn't you leave us to die there? Why have you brought us here to die? And Moses said, stand still. Amen. That's a good leader. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And then he cried to God. Amen. I love that. He didn't cry to the people. He said, stand still in faith. And he cried to God. And God said, Moses, why are you crying to me? Stretch forth your rod. Amen. At that point, it looked as if nothing was going to go well. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way. God made a way where there seemed to be no way. Why? Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes you might stand and you might have to stand all alone. Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel quickly, please. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel. Second Samuel 23. Sometimes you stand all alone and there will be nobody supporting you, because they can't understand what God is asking you to do. Sometimes, even those who began with you will step away and say, this is a bigger step than I can imagine. I can't go on. Amen. At some point in Jesus' life, people left him and he turned to the 12 and said, are you also going to leave me? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. Amen. 2 Samuel 23. I read from verse 9. Now, just to give you a context before I read, this was one of David's mighty men. And Bible says, David had, there were several men who were rejects and had no future and had nothing working for them. And this man followed David. Praise God. Just like the 12 followed Jesus and something came out of them. This man followed David and they became David's mighty men. And the Bible's talking about one of them. 2 Samuel 23 from verse 9. And after him was Eleazar the son. Sorry, I'm reading from King James. What version is this? Okay, amen, praise God. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defiled the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and men of Israel were gone away. Verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to the spoil. Amen. I don't know if you saw that. Maybe I should read it again. Verse 9. I read from B. When they defiled the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, the men of Israel were gone away. Now, they all left him. He was alone. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. Question, when your hand is weary, does your hand cling to the sword? No. When your hand is weary, it's not when your hand clings to the sword. What happens? He had stepped out in the natural and had done everything he could in the natural. And at that point, the supernatural took over. Hallelujah. Bible says his hand clave to the sword. And the Bible says the Lord wrought a great victory. When he came to that point where he had done all he could to stand, then the anointing of God came in. And Bible says the Lord won a great victory for Israel that day. Praise God. But the Bible says that everybody left him. Sometimes it's going to be that way. Everyone will leave you. Even though God called you, everyone will leave you. But don't give up. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And lastly, sometimes even when you're on that journey, you might fall and you might fail. Amen. Peter, Jesus said, you all will be offended tonight because of me. And Peter said, Lord, if everybody else, and that was being proud, amen. If the Lord says, you all will be offended, you should just say, Lord, what time is it going to happen? It's that simple. Amen. He has never lied. Peter said there was no guile in him. So the Lord says, you all will be offended. You just say, Lord, what time is it going to happen? Simple. But Peter said, Lord, if all of them, if everybody here denies you, everybody is offended, not me. Amen. And he actually meant what he said. He meant it. Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice. And Jesus, remember Jesus also said, Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, and your faith will not fail. Amen. And here is Peter. They came to pick Jesus. Who was the first person to respond? It was Peter. He brought out his knife. He didn't waste time. If you want a war, you shall get a war. Amen. He brought out his knife and he cut off somebody's ear. Amen. And Jesus had to tell him, Peter, hold it. This is not what I came for. Amen. But Peter actually meant to follow Jesus to the death of it. Amen. Who was the only person who followed him all the way to the high priest's house? It was Peter. Amen. But guess what? Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice. And it happened just that way. And how many of you know that Peter was distraught? Peter was, he felt he had failed God. He felt he had, if you betray somebody close to you, it hurts your heart. Peter felt he had betrayed the one he loves, the one he left everything for to follow. And what happened? But praise God for the mercies of God. When Jesus rose up from the dead, the Bible said, the angel said, tell his disciples and Peter. Peter got a special mention. Why? Because the Lord still had a plan for him. Amen. The Lord wasn't going to leave him or forsake him simply because he had failed. Amen. I just want to encourage you this morning that wherever you are, remember, the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Colossians 1 says, verse 12, I will end with that verse, Colossians 1, verse 12. Whenever you feel like you are at a crossroads, remember what the Bible says, Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has qualified me and made me a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You are qualified by God. Amen. Does it matter what anybody says? Does it matter how you feel? You are qualified by God. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I'll ask him sometime to come and speak. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Richard. Praise God. You know, I tell you, that just leaped in my spirit when he said, will you show up? Will you show up? You know, won't you stand to your feet? If I can have a worship team up, I'm not going to preach after that. That was good, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. Will you show up? You've been bought with a price, you know. Every one of you been bought with a price. Praise God. Will you show up? He didn't call the qualified. If he called the qualified, wow. Some of us would have to sit down, wouldn't we? He qualifies you. Ain't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. I love what God does, don't you? Isn't it interesting what the church sometimes attracted to and then what God is attracted to? Let's be attracted to what God is attracted to, you know. And so, will you show up? Will you show up? How does that look? Will I show up? You know, I tell you, every time some of us already have conceptualized in our minds that where we at right now, we're stuck and there's no answer. I'm stuck. I did it. I know I repeat myself sometimes because I tell you, I know by the Holy Spirit that the Lord wants you unstuck. He wants to unstick you. And you do have to show up. You do have to let him have his way in your life. You want supernatural things to happen. I just tell you, we're going to have to embrace a supernatural God with a supernatural word. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord is so good. I am so thankful to the Almighty God that I don't have to be qualified. I just need to show up. I believe all things are possible. What do you believe? I believe anything can happen. What do you believe? I believe that Jesus is exactly who he said he was when he said to his disciples, I am the way. He's a way maker. I am the truth and I'm the life. He said, he answered all of our questions, beloved. Listen, the prayer team is here. This is the healing team. You see people standing across the front. They work in our healing rooms on Thursday nights, and God uses them in a wonderful way. I thank God because they show up. It takes a lot of commitment to come out here every Thursday night, turn around, come back on Sunday. I thank y'all. Thank you, team. Praise God. Thank you for your faithfulness. But I just want to say this morning, if you'll show up, well, how does it look, Pastor John? Why don't you just take a walk of faith? Why don't you just walk up here? Why don't you take somebody by the hand and just say, you know what? I'm stuck. What if Jesus was to say to you again, why don't you cast your net? I've already done all that, Jesus. Jesus, I done done everything you done told me to do. Won't you? Well, wait a minute. I've tried it my way. Jesus told them what to do, and that's when the results came. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to have them lead us in a song, and I want to give you an opportunity to just come, just to show up. You know, the Holy Spirit wants you to show up in the way that looks. If you're sick and tired of no results, will you please do something different? Will you show up? If you're sick and tired of no results, would you consider that what you're doing is not working? Would you show up? Well, let's sing it together one more time. Won't you lead us? They're here. They're ready for you. Show up. Come up.
I've won.